Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TF Metals Report. I will post a link to that site below this interview. Craig, let's start off big picture. When it comes to commodities, we're seeing a broad-based pullback. Whether you look at base metals, whether you look at oil, whether you look at precious metals, which already have been through a pretty big correction, they're all moving lower. Now, maybe this is all just a unwind of that maybe overly aggressive inflation trade. Could also have something to do with the Fed minutes that show that the Fed is planning on, or at least talking about, tapering this year. Overall, we're also seeing the dollar move higher. Look, there's a lot of factors that I guess are driving commodities lower. What's your takeaway though? What do you think are some of the key factors that are putting that pressure on commodities?
Well, I think the main thing, Corey, is the move in the dollar. With all those dollar price commodities, we've certainly seen this before. And why is the dollar stronger? Well, because it's compared to a basket of similarly worthless and devaluing fiat currency, you know? And so people always say, well, the dollar's stronger this week. Well, okay, that's the dollar index. And what's a dollar index? It's about 58% euro. And then, you know, equal parts yen and pound and go down the list. And so it's the dollar's turn to appear stronger because the Fed is talking about reducing their $1 trillion a year in dollar creation for QE, while the ECB has no choice but to keep printing. And so just as in, now you just go back to 2013, remember we're in the throes of QE3, $1 trillion of QE, and yet the dollar's rallying. Well, why? Because it had a time limit to it. And the ECB had nothing they could do but print. And so the dollar soared, went from 80 to 100 in 2014, and it was the great disinflation, the great deflation trade, and the commodities all crashed. You get a little bit of that right now. It's not the same. We've gone from 90 to 93, 94, so it's not nearly the same, but it's the same trade. The dollar appears strong because the Fed is discussing, they haven't done any of this yet. Balance sheet was up another $85 billion or something last week alone. But nonetheless, that perception that the Fed is ultimately going to tighten and that Powell is going to announce something like that next Friday is spurring the dollar to the highest it's been all year. And that makes the machines sell futures contracts and everything that's dollar based as a commodity.
Well, Craig, one of the topics we've discussed with a few different people over the last week or so is if the Fed does go forward with their tapering, and that would raise, you know, they would take away their emergency bond buying that started after the great financial crisis, 2008, 2009. It was supposed to be temporary. It was supposed to just be an emergency, but we know how that goes with government programs. They usually are pretty sticky. But if they do start actually tapering, it would drive the rates up a little bit. And a lot of people think that could pressure the markets. And if it's a big enough shock, which it shouldn't be at this point, but if there is enough shock that sets in as they keep tapering, at what point could those rate increases pressure the general markets? And would they have to reverse course? And if they did, could that be a driver of folks into the precious metals as a safe haven?
Yeah. You know, on a mini version, this is what we went through in our 5-6 years in the desert from 13 through 18. Is the Fed was, you know, trying to taper. They were trying to draw down their balance sheet by letting some of the stuff they bought just simply mature and not get reinvested. And what were they? Pair off like $700 billion off their balance sheet over 5 years. And they assured us everything was going to go back to normal, you know, and back down to a trillion. Right. And then the 10-year note got to 3% in November of 2018, and everything seized up and the stock market crashed about 20%. And the Fed immediately noticed, well, we can't go any farther here. And real interest rates began to fall. The bond market rallied in early 19, leading all the way up to the Fed officially changing policy in June of 19. And gold's been in an uptrend ever since. That does continue even after this pullback of whatever, $300 over the last year. So, yeah, it's a little bit like that. This notion that, oh, yes, they're going to normalize the balance sheet and they're going to interest rates are going to go. No, man, they're not going to do anything of the sort. Cannot afford higher interest rates. I know we've been through this lots of times, so I won't bore you guys with this again. But they will try to put that notion out there, and their willing sycophants in the financial media will continue to promote it as well. Oh, yes, the Fed is going to taper back to. Right. Okay. So I don't see the spending stopping. Okay, we're still running $2-3 trillion a year in deficits, as far as the eye can see. We got this a Delta variant and every other variant that's going to come after it, locking down or shutting down parts of the economy. There's no way. They may pretend like they're going to, trim it back by maybe $10 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities or something, but it's just not going to happen. And once that realization sets in again, as it did in late 2018, or once the policy actually changes, as it did in June of 19, then you're going to have this big run of the metals again. And coming from, what did we do? We went from 1,200 to 2,100 from the end of 18 to August of 2020. That's a 50% move. So all of this is still out there. It's aggravating to watch everybody with their beak at the trough play along as if the Fed has some kind of credibility in terms of trimming their balance sheet and tapering their QE.
Well, along the same lines, Craig, what about if they actually started hiking rates? Because besides the taper talk, there's also the tightening talk. Yeah. And in the past, that's actually been a positive for the precious metal sector when they have admitted, hey, inflation's taking off a little bit or we're going to start hiking. Those rate hike cycles, even decades ago, often led to an increase in precious metals interest. Do you think that would be the case if they announced they were going to hike? The target is currently next year. They want to hike twice.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, Powell's been pretty emphatic that there are going to be no rate hikes until the first quarter of 2023. And I think even Fed Funds Futures say maybe as soon as December of 2022. That's 15 months from now, for crying out loud. 15 months ago, we were just getting into COVID. The fact that anybody could actually make predictions or put their money behind a prediction for something a year and a half from now seems a little silly. But you're right, Chad. I mean, go back to 2005 through 2008. The Fed raised the Fed funds rate 25 basis points, something like 12 times in a row, every quarter for 3 years. And gold went from $400 to $1,000. Over that same time period. So, I mean, yeah, you can't just make some simplified statement saying, well, yes, higher interest rates are bad for. No, because it's really more about real interest rates than anything else. But there's definitely a bigger picture going on here. And again, it'll be very, very interesting to see what the reaction is to Powell next Friday. 10 o'clock Eastern is when he's due to address Jackson Hole. And I'm sure that'll get leaked. Or not leaked, but his prepared remarks will probably come out earlier that morning. And I mean, we've been at this now since the middle of June, when it was first hinted that things were going this way a little over 2 months ago. That's when gold was about 1920 and silver was up near 27 or something like that. And this has been, we've been smashed ever since. And the dollar's gone from 90.5 to 93.5. So I suspect knowing the way the Fed usually operates and Powell's reticence to do anything and with this Delta variant and everything else, I suspect that when all this comes to pass next Friday and with the September FOMC that I'm going to be watching then after that, I suspect it's going to be more of a buy the rumor, sell the news for the dollar and sell the rumor, buy the news for the precious metals. But I guess we'll see soon enough.
We will. Let's see how it all plays out. But it is a bit of a change now that the Fed is talking, or at least has stated in the minutes a bit more solidly that they plan on tapering, at least. Craig, when we consider that some of this taper talk, at least a couple months ago, was on the back of higher inflation data, and it would be the Fed admitting that inflation was getting out of hand, and that's why they need to start tapering. We've seen some of the inflation data wane at least a little bit, and the job numbers and some of the economic data has built up. So what sort of an environment would a hike or even a taper be where we do see inflation potentially continuing to decline?
Well, I would just take that back to the big picture about negative real interest rates. I mean, because this has been going on now since last year at Jackson Hole. It was leaked and trial ballooned in July that the Fed was going to be changing their inflation policy and go from just, where we're not just going to look for 2% inflation and start hiking. We're going to go average inflation over certain periods of time will lead us to think about hiking because they obviously knew this was coming. And why were they looking? Why are they trying to sponsor inflation? Well, again, go back all through the minutes of all of last year's meetings. The Fed has been studying yield curve control and negative real rates as a way of, I guess, inflating your way out of the debt level that we have at present. That's what the Fed did in the post-World War II period when the U.S. had similar debt to GDP levels. They ran yield curve control with sharply negative real rates and managed to grow their way, you know, grow the GDP faster than the debt was growing and get that percentage down. So there's history of them doing this. And so I'm not sure the Fed really has an interest in moving rates back, real rates back close to positive, because that's disinflationary and that kind of works against what they're trying to accomplish. So I'm just not sure that the Fed's going to head down that road, Corey. And instead, we'll just look to see if you know. And I would just say this, as we record on Friday, I saw something earlier today from Goon Kaplan out of Dallas. And he said that, we better start watching this Delta variant. That may change everything. Yeah, there'll always be something, I would imagine, because somebody's got to buy the treasuries. I mean, we heard this week that China now has been a net seller for the last 4 months. Someone's going to have to buy them. And I'll throw one more thing on here that we're going to have to watch. This whole debt ceiling charade and theater that we have in the U.S. That used to be a hard limit dollar-wise that the debt couldn't exceed. And then we'd raise it and then come right back up against it because we're spending so fast that they changed it back a couple of years ago to just being a date beyond which the Fed can no longer borrow. Well, that's coming up at the end of the fiscal year, at the end of September. That may, not that, you know, the U.S. is going to default or something, but that may, you know, cause a little angst, not only in the bond market, but maybe in the dollar market as well as we get into September. So there are a number of things on there that I think could ultimately kind of turn the ship. And all we got to do is get the trend to change in the metals and start moving back up towards some of the moving averages that were below some of the highs that were, you know, we fell back from. I mean, the sentiment, it could change quickly, I guess, is what I'm saying. And that's what happened last summer. I mean, that's not without precedent as well. Really rapid moves in the precious metals as all this stuff sinks in. So in the end of the day, I don't think now is the time yet to just, you know, run up the white flag and go buy Tesla.
Yeah, there are people in the sector that are waving the white flag, and a lot of investors in the precious metals are clearly fatigued at this point after a year-long correction and watching gold drop $300 and watching silver finally lose a little bit of the range it was in and start dipping lower. And of course, we live in the world of the mining stocks, as do a lot of our listeners. And so those have had a rough go of it. What levels are you watching for gold in particular to break up above for you to get a little bit more encouraged? Because we have all these central bank policies, we have all the geopolitical risks in the world, we have all those same factors that are always at play. But what will the catalyst be to get gold moving in a positive direction again? And do you think we're getting close to a bottom here?
Well, let's talk bottom first. On the downside, gold came down in it was March and double bottom twice in an area around 1680 to 1700. And in that washout, whatever that was, two Sundays ago at 6:45 Eastern time, it went down between 1680 and 1700. So you've got, you know, the short term double bottom in March, and then you maybe a longer term double bottom off of that spike washout. So now the big challenge, now that we've come back up $100, which, you know, you don't want to sneeze at that. That's still a pretty remarkable recovery over the last 2 weeks. Up at 1800, you can plot a chart and see on the daily chart of this, just this year alone, how important that level has been as either resistance or support. And right now it's going to be resistance again. But also at 1800 is a collection of moving averages. 50-day, the 100-day, and the 200-day are all right in there as well. So if you want something to root for, well, one, if things get sideways on us, we got to make sure 1680 to 1700 holds, because there's got to be some stops below there now that, you know, could lead to a flushing if we head down that way. But on the upside, if we do get this kind of sell the rumor, buy the news in gold as we get into next week and beyond, watch 1800 and all those moving averages. And then above there, the highs from, let's see, first week of August that are up near 1830. If we start making a higher high versus that, that's going to get a lot of people's attention too. So it's pretty simple in the short term. You got to get above 1800 and hold there to, you know, make you feel like maybe there's some hope. And then from there, we're going to need to see anything above 1830. And really, the only way that we're going to get there is the other part of the equation, that the dollar index is buy the rumor, sell the news. So a lot of pieces coming together, both next Friday with Powell's speech at Jackson Hole, the following Friday, which would be the September or the August jobs report here in the U.S., first Friday of September, I think it's the 3rd. And then after the three-day holiday weekend in the U.S., it should be all hands on deck globally again. Everybody back from holiday and vacation, ready to roll as we get into September and the September FOMC. And if you're lulled to sleep here during the doldrums this week, you're going to get woken up pretty quick beginning about a week from now.
Hey, let's hope that the stocks haven't been showing us that maybe another drop is coming, because boy, oh boy, those have really been dropping too. But yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces here. Always are, but couple key ones to consider, and really most important, it seems like, is the Fed actually going to do anything? Are they going to change stance? Who knows? Only time will tell, but it gives us a lot to talk about. Hey, Craig, great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for taking time on this Friday. Hope you have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you, Corey.